Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Welcome to Shake Them Ropes. Rob here, and I'm not sure if I'll be going first this week or if Jeff will be going first this week. How about, Jeff, we just go at the same time this time?
All right, let's all go at the same time. One, two, three.
Welcome to Shake Them Ropes. We're going to talk a little bit about MLW tonight with a little TNA. And if we get to it, the Zara turn. Zara.
We're going to do a Zapruder-like breakdown of the Sean Ross Sapp versus Brian Alvarez fight.
No, we're not. I can tell you right now we're not going to do that. I can also tell you we're not going to get into a debate over whether Ole Anderson should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Because that answer is no.
Okay.
Yeah. And we might, if we have time, talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of WWE as it is the week after WrestleMania. WrestleMania came and went. Every single one of my predictions came true. I nailed this show. So go back and check out. Actually, don't go back and check out last week's episode if you haven't, because at this point, just trust me. I told you all the right answers. You would have made a lot of money on my bookie or Bet3, whatever betting site they were using for WrestleMania there. But yeah, Jeff, what's going on this week? And do you have any recommendations over who I should start tomorrow? Because I am gripping a victory out of the jaws of defeat this week in fantasy baseball. Let me tell you, this has been the first week where I've really had some hiccups. So I need to come back this weekend.
Trade all your Mets. That's all I know.
Oh my God. I just got Soto back, because I actually have Soto on one of my teams, one of my five teams. So I'm happy to get Soto back. But I tell you what, you know who was one person I was making sure I wasn't stuck with this year? And that was Francisco Lindor. And not only am I happy about this month because, yeah, he's been playing pretty poorly, but now he's going to be gone for the next month. So, yeah, stay away from the Mets is pretty good advice. No Devin Williams. And I made sure not to get Pete Alonso, too, just by default, just by connectivity. No Pete Alonso, no Mets going up in there. So, yeah, let's talk about some wrestling. At this point here, we're going into the weekend after WrestleMania. We're not going to go back and rehash WrestleMania because there's already been two shows with Raw and NXT. We can talk about maybe a few of the big points of WrestleMania, but we're not going to go match by match or any. So if you're expecting a full show review, that's not what you're going to get here tonight. If that's a surprise to Jeff, I'm sorry, but we're not going to do a full show review on this. What are you thinking now with a few days, with a whole week from WrestleMania to now? Has it changed your view of the show? Has Raw changed your view of what was happening afterwards and where the direction was going? Because at this point, we're only 2 weeks away, right, from Backlash, effectively. 2 or 3 weeks away from Backlash, where a whole lot of changes are going to happen, I'm sure, too. So, yeah, where are we at heading into the weekend after WrestleMania, Jeff?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes that happen at Backlash. I think it's just going to be, you know,
I said that shock. Poorly. Yeah, yes. not necessarily changes, but I did not expect Jacob Fatu versus Roman Reigns to be the main event direction right away. I was not expecting that. So I don't mean changes per se. I mean, did Raw change where you thought they were going immediately, because it did for me. I was not expecting Jacob Fatu to get this spot right away.
I was not, but it makes sense. It's kind of that, all right, we had this big, big main event. Now we'll get a upper mid-card guy to face him, but it's still kind of a heated feud, and we could still heat it up a little bit because we have this whole bloodline thing going. It's not that it was unexpected. I actually expected them to run it back with Punk, to be honest.
Here's where I question. I didn't know if Punk was going to take the pay-per-view off, like kind of go away for a few weeks and then come back heading towards, you know, some of the summer pay-per-views and then SummerSlam. I didn't know if he was going to take off. I still don't think he's going to be wrestling on this show in Tampa. I don't think they're doing the Cody Rhodes CM Punk match right away. So I don't expect that. But Jacob Fatu's last WWE matches, okay, his single matches, he beat Tama Tonga on Friday Night SmackDown. Mm-hmm. He lost to Trick Williams. He lost to Logan Paul. He lost to Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn in a triple threat match. He lost the Royal Rumble. He's won a few tag matches, and then he lost at SummerSlam in a steel cage to Solo Sikoa. His last win outside of Tama Tonga in a singles match in WWE came in July of 2025 when he beat The Miz. And this is the guy who might be the number one contender to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And I if got you're nothing. Saying, and if someone out there is screaming at me saying, well, duh, Rob, he just beat Drew McIntyre, who was the last champion. That was unsanctioned. Doesn't count. Doesn't count, guys.
I think they're going to also really take the weak way out on the Intercontinental title. And they're gonna belt Javon Evans by having him pin Rusev or something. And like, he should have won it at the ladder match because he was so spectacular.
I believe that was the only prediction I didn't get right, because yes, I thought Javon Evans would win the Intercontinental Championship match. Again, don't check my facts there. But Javon Evans, it seemed like the best possible spot. You still kind of have a multi-man situation with Rey Mysterio, with Penta. Possibly Rey Mysterio goes to different shows. We're about that time of year too, where you're going to start seeing people. I mean, you already saw Rhea Ripley going to SmackDown. You might be seeing CM Punk go to SmackDown side. You know, where's Randy Orton going from here? Are they going to revisit Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes for Backlash Tampa? Are they going to revisit Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes? There's also a Saturday night's main event coming up that you'll need a main event for. So there's a few shows coming up in the next 4 weeks that you're going to need some matches for. And it's a quick turnaround to try and get something new, which is why, again, I'm surprised that Jacob Fatu is getting that shot. Although you're right, it does make sense, especially for the family purposes. But are you worried that Jacob Fatu, I know you have a thought here after that answer. Are you worried that Jacob Fatu getting this spot immediately is most likely setting him up for a loss, and is that going to hurt him going forward?
I think it sets him up for a loss, but also a reunion with Roman and the cousins. You know, that's what this feels like. It feels like they're going to get the band back together by having Roman beat his family members. Right?
This wouldn't be a reunion for them, right? Because Jacob Fatu has never been in the bloodline with Roman.
Right. He was with Solo. So this
he
would
was,
probably
he was Solo's
be...
hitman. Yeah. So so it, in some ways it's a little bit new. I'm not 100% sure if I see this bloodline with Roman Reigns and the Usos lasting very long, because is Roman literally going to just be, you know, we're doing this as equals for that much longer? Is Roman staying a babyface? Is he going to go back and try to do the long reign? There's a lot of questions. I am interested to see where it goes, because I don't know. I find them breaking up right away would be kind of a waste, because why do you keep going back to it if you're just going to break them up? But then where does it go if they stay together? Will the Usos get their tag team titles back and they'll really have all the belts? Because that then does lead to a heel dynamic, right? If you're just the top guys and you're bossing everyone around, you have all the belts. I mean, that's not the good guys who do that.
Right, and Jacob Fatu, I mean, you just said yourself, he doesn't win much. He should be winning more. I mean, he was one of the hottest characters in the company, to be honest with you.
I was stunned how many losses, and to guy, again, Trick Williams, Logan Paul, Solo Sikoa, his last big matches before WrestleMania. Now, all of that is kind of undone. I mean, yes, he beat Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
Queen, at least,
that's a big win, unsanctioned or not. Like if you were in the biz, if you're someone like Logan Paul, you're like, how is this guy getting a world title shot? I'm a tag team champion and I beat him last. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. He has a singles loss to Solo. This dude straight up lost to Andrade within the last year on SmackDown. And Andrade is now wrestling, you know, the other guys. So it's very interesting with Jacob Fatu. It's been a very interesting year. He had the injury as well. Have they ever answered the storyline about who took him out? Because at one point we were thinking that would be Cody Rhodes, and then they just kind of dropped it, no?
I think they basically kind of implied Drew, didn't they?
That it was Drew after all? Okay. Yeah. I'm not a regular SmackDown viewer.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the smartest things they've done is, although it's now probably going to change their plans quite a bit, is getting rid of McAfee and Jelly Roll out of that tag match that they were supposed to do.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a possibility for a tag match, Jelly Roll, Pat McAfee, going into that Tampa show. Not hating that that's not going to happen. I do like that Backlash is happening within 30 days of WrestleMania, because I signed up. I had to bite the bullet, Jeff. I had to bite the bullet and sign up for the $30 a month ESPN Unlimited. I didn't want to risk doing the VPN with Netflix, because I've had mixed results doing that for the last few PLEs, and mixed results for the Royal Rumble with a lot of buffering and sometimes it restarting on me. So WrestleMania weekend, I was like, I'm gonna buy the $30 ESPN Unlimited. YouTube TV doesn't have it for free yet. I had to buy it. So I went ahead and did that. And now I'm wondering, like, will I continue to do it going through SummerSlam, or am I hopeful that YouTube TV before football season can kind of get this figured out with ESPN Unlimited, and I can start getting the big shows in late summer and fall as part of my YouTube TV subscription. But I did go for the ESPN Unlimited to watch these shows. So I'm happy about that for Backlash. I'm happy about that. but what are we going to get for Backlash? That's still the question. Right now it looks like we are going to get Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu. What else? What else over the last few days are you thinking about heading out of WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania?
Liv and I guess... Didn't they set up a feud for her?
With Liv Morgan? I mean, honestly, Sol Ruka came out. I don't think that's the direction right away.
Okay.
Sol Ruka has debuted on Raw. I don't think Sol Ruka is the direction. It was hilarious that they basically copied without Sol Ruka actually winning. I was worried Sol Ruka was going to win this title because they basically blatantly did the AJ Lee and Paige right here with Sol Ruka, especially when it came immediately after introducing Paige in the Paige's big return at WrestleMania. And then they're just showing her in the crowd. Oh, by the way, if you missed WrestleMania, here's your new women's tag team champion. It's Paige. Oh yeah, by the way, she's back.
That pop was amazing.
I mean, Paige is a big star. She'll be a big star and get big reactions for at least the first couple of weeks. And then it'll probably be, I think it's going to be more like AJ, where she gets some really good reactions. The crowd's behind her. It will be a different dynamic because she's probably going to be on the show more regularly. I don't see Paige being like every, you know, once every couple of months or couple of weeks on the show. I think she's going to be there regularly. What a tag team, though. You got Paige, who's coming back to the promotion, and you got Brie Bella, who's like, I didn't expect to be seeing her regularly. And now she's got to do at least one or two more matches, and maybe she'll be on the show every week. But of the two, I did not expect to see Brie Bella wrestling regularly. So I got to figure on one of these shows this month, they got to get the tag team titles off of them,
and get them back on they also have to get them back on because Nikki Bella has to have a run with them, because that's the whole reason why they're getting the tag titles, so that she can hold every title in the company.
Well, I think she technically had them. No,
you think this is a demolition thing? No. Yeah, she was replaced. So
it's a New Day situation, right? Where everyone in the group is part of the tag team champions.
I don't know. I think the Bellas turn on Paige eventually.
Yeah, probably. The question was leading up to that day, would Nikki Bella be cleared? Like this was something where she could have been cleared. So I don't see her being out for very long. And yeah, maybe they're defending the tag team titles. The Bellas are like, you know what? I'm glad you came in, but I didn't really expect you guys to win. Like, this is my spot. I want it back. And then you could do a big SummerSlam. Honestly, you could do SummerSlam with Nikki Bella versus Paige.
Sure.
You could. I don't
you
know.
Could. Again, I don't know if you want to.
I stop worrying about where, like what they should be doing. Like I used to be that guy. Like this is what they should do. I just want to, whatever they do, I want to kind of be fun and make sense. And there's a lot of fun that was going on. I definitely, from what I was seeing online, was one of those who liked WrestleMania a lot better than others.
Okay.
Saturday Night Show, of course, was less good, if you will. Got what one hell of a show if it was all on one night. Would have been one hell of a show.
Okay. No, I really liked that Gunther Seth Rollins match on Saturday. I did. I thought that was, as I said, hey, they put an AEW match on WWE up until the time when Bron Breakker came in and did the screw job. It was, it was guys no-selling belly to backs and clotheslines and whatnot. It was a lot of fun. And Sunday was just great all the way around. I thought Sunday over-delivered on every match almost.
Sunday was fantastic. It absolutely had, like, the opener. It wasn't necessarily a squash, but it was still short enough to where Obafemi beating Brock Lesnar. And, of course, you have the Brock Lesnar, possible retirement there. I know there's a lot of mixed stuff out there, whether or not Brock Lesnar might come back for SummerSlam. I think that's a lot of just a wishful thinking. I think that's people thinking, well, it would make sense for him to work SummerSlam in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I'm sure that's what he'll do. Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit. He doesn't live there now. Does he have ties to Minnesota? Sure. You know what else he has ties to?
WWE.
And he's leaving.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan too, yeah.
He might do one last match with Gunther, but that plane's going to be running and it's going on first, so it'll be fine.
Whether or not he wants to, too. Yeah. I love the people, this was a surprise retirement. No one in WWE knew. Sure as shit they did. I mean, he had the big walkout. The cameras kept on him. No one cut to a video package. He didn't take the cart back to the back like every other superstar does. Like, everyone knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that was the plan. Brock Lesnar does not go into business for himself on TV. You can say all you want about Brock Lesnar, but he's like super professional dude for the most part. So, like, if you're hanging on to like, oh, this is a surprise and they'll talk him out of it. If he wrestles again, that was the plan all along. If he doesn't, that was the plan all along.
Exactly.
Glad I could clear that up for you all. very interesting stuff. What do you make about Obafemi? He came out, he actually opened Raw. I was surprised that he was the guy to open Raw. I was kind of expecting it to either be CM Punk, possibly Becky Lynch, but we didn't even get Becky Lynch on the show. They're saving that for next week. But Obafemi opening up the show was a little bit of a surprise. He came out, he said the ruler has arrived. I would love to see him go full on Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, and just be like, he's the master and the ruler of the world now. Obviously he has a little bit more charisma probably than Sid at his peak. But Obafemi's the guy.
I liked that they started with him. I wanted, I think, a little bit more out of the promo other than, hey, I'm here. Drops a mic.
For the first one, I'm okay. Quite all right. I'm quite all right with him just coming out and just
a teaser. Like, it's a teaser for later.
Like, just putting the period on it, It's like, I beat Brock Lesnar. What else am I going to say? Am I going to go into 5 minutes of rambling about how I beat Brock Lesnar?
I don't want last Sunday at WrestleMania, I defeated Brock, blah, 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 blah. I'd much rather have this. Don't get me wrong. I need to clarify that. But, it would have been, just angrily tell me who you want next. Something, I guess.
Oh, like Goldberg, come out and say who's next.
Yeah, sure.
At this point, Obafemi, like, what does he care who's next? If he's not going for Roman Reigns, right? It's like, now he's the target. Like, I'm Brock Lesnar now, guys. I am that guy that people come up and challenge because they want to try to prove something. I proved it. I beat Brock Lesnar. I'll prove it again when I finally get the WWE or World Championship, but that's not coming right now. What happens? Does he wrestle at Saturday Night's main event? Does he happen to wrestle at Backlash? I don't know. I don't know who it could be. To me, like a guy kind of like a Rusev or one of those names. I know we already had the Rusev Obafemi, but something like that. would kind of make sense. I don't need it to be a big semi-main event or attraction match. But yeah, I just don't know. I don't know where we're going to go.
JD McDonough would be fine.
Yeah. If Damian Priest didn't have his own tag team stuff going on right now, with Damian Priest kind of would have been
right.
Interesting. How about that? Fall from grace for Damian Priest, not wrestling on WrestleMania this year. Can he get back? Can he get back into the spot where he's like a big time player at a WrestleMania?
Yeah, sure. If they put him on Raw, on SmackDown, he's going to die a death.
Talk more.
Oh, okay. I'm not looking at you. That's the problem. Yeah, and
why are you not looking at me?
Because I don't have my screen up. I was looking at the WrestleMania results, trying to look at something I wanted to talk about.
go ahead. What does Jeff want to talk about from his screen of WrestleMania results?
I don't know. Jade Cargill over-delivered. I thought that was a pretty decent match there.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, we disagree on that a little bit.
Okay.
I kind of felt like Jade Cargill was struggling through that, but it was fine. It was a big stage.
You know what I was going to go with when you said, you know, talk about stuff that you liked from Raw. I'm an Ethan Page guy. I love Ethan Page.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Cause he can talk and he's big and he has size and he always reacts to what's being said to him as opposed to kind of going into business for himself. Now, sure, he kind of puts little buttons on there a little bit too often, but you know, I find him I think he deserves a main roster run. Okay. How about that? I don't want him on NXT.
I've said it on this show with you that I thought Ethan Page was going to be an NXT lifer and not someone they called up. I'm super surprised they called him up right away. Very interesting choices too, with some of the call-ups. You know, they call up Ethan Page. Who was the other one? Oh, a brief graphic that Joe Hendry was going to be live in concert next week was the official call up for Joe Hendry. So he'll be up on Raw. Another guy I thought would have no chance of coming up to Raw, at least right in the near future, and he's coming up. I'm interested to see how these shows evolve, adding guys like Ethan Page, Joe Hendry, because we haven't even solidified Rusev yet. Dragon Lee is still kind of flailing on the main roster. We haven't gotten as much Chad Gable and Ludwig Kaiser doing the Americanos on WWE TV lately. It's still happening more so on the AAA side, but we still get some of it to the point where I wonder if it will, if anything with those two will occur on WWE TV the rest of the way, or if it's just blown off at AAA. But yeah, there's still a lot of question marks with the Raw side. And then you're just going to bring more talent up to it. And it looks like Ethan Page is going into that Intercontinental title mix as well. I'm not super high on Ethan Page, the performer. I don't think anywhere he's ever gone, he's gotten the crowds really behind him to where they want to care and are invested in his work. I think Ethan Page is a great guy and he's very talented and he's gotten in the best shape of his life over the last 5 years. So I hope he does well. I just haven't seen that evidence that he will.
The one I'm worried about, I think, happens Friday. I think JC Jane, if she's not being brought up with Toxic Attraction, I think that's going to be an issue. She's going to get lost in that SmackDown women's division where you already have Julia and Kiana James and a plethora of people who aren't doing anything in the mid-card there for the most part. There's the rumor that Ricky Saints is being kept on NXT.
You gotta have somebody. And if you gave me the option of Ricky Saints or Ethan Page, I would choose Ethan Page to go up because I'm even less high on Ricky Saints.
I think Ricky Saints is he has a Tommaso Ciampa problem in that once he gets up to the main roster, he's going to look small.
Well, a little bit of that. I don't think that was Tommaso Ciampa's main problem though.
The first time he showed up when they did that NXT, remember when the SmackDown crew all got kind of stuck on a plane and they couldn't do it. So they got, everybody there. And then they had a Tommaso Ciampa match and he just looked tiny in that ring and he had the mohawk still. It was eye opening. Let's put it that way. I just think, man, Saints needs something else because his act is just Like, as soon as anybody calls him, like, Mini Rock, he's dead on the main roster.
Well, especially because he's not really Mini Rock. Like,
yeah,
he's wannabe Rock, if anything, because sometimes he does kind of have those cadences to him. But no, he couldn't handle his own with Edge, who was laying in the softest of softballs on AEW TV. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan just like, okay, what are you going to do? Like, I just don't think he has that quick wit to be able to go toe to toe with somebody when, for a guy who self-proclaimed as like a promo guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm great on the shtick. I can talk people into the building. I can talk people into being behind me. He had a great run in AEW, and I was a big fan of what he was doing in AEW, but so far he hasn't gotten me. Now, granted, I also don't watch a lot of NXT. So
I thought him and Paige as a package, perhaps, maybe even backing Randy Orton, which was my original thought, that they were going to be the guys backing him since they were quote-unquote friends of Cody.
Yeah,
I thought that might have worked, but I don't see him as a singles act on the main roster, and I think he could actually be the lifer on NXT if he wanted to be, but I could see that also turning sour.
Yeah, so we got some NXT call-ups coming. Joe Hendry, the aforementioned Ethan Page. We'll see what happens on SmackDown. That's happening later today. So we will find out where we're going to head into, because we got Backlash coming. Backlash is going to be May 9th. It is Mother's Day weekend. So what is that? Saturday. Saturday night of Mother's Day weekend. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from Saturday. We're gonna have a PLE that over under 4.5 matches, Jeff. Are you going a big fiver on this show?
I'm going 5 matches, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5 as well. I think they keep 4 for Saturday night's main event, which means they're going to have 9 matches on effectively PLEs / special shows in May. Which back in the day, right? Back in our day, back in my day, really, not back in your day. Back in my day, on the height of WWE pay-per-views, there would probably be 7 to 9 matches, usually that 8 and 9 match mark, all on one show. And now, like WrestleMania, like SummerSlam, you're basically booking one show's worth, spreading it out over 2 nights, getting more people in these buildings, getting more sponsorships and money coming in, but effectively you're getting the same results coming out of here. So yeah, Backlash, Tampa, Saturday night's main event, Fort Wayne. I got to imagine that most of the big matches will happen on Backlash, which makes me wonder what the main event for Saturday night's main event might be, and it very well could be a Gunther match. Gunther could become Mr. Saturday night's main event here, because he keeps putting people out of commission on Saturday night's main event. John Cena, Goldberg, he keeps putting people out on these shows. Could he be Mr. Saturday night's main event? What is Gunther going to be doing coming up? He's owed a favor from Paul Heyman, Jeff Hawkins. What do you envision? See what I did there?
I did. That was clever.
To be the favor for Paul Heyman to Gunther.
Get Brock out of retirement for Ooh. One last match against me.
Oh, I never got that match. Okay, that's actually a good one. I didn't put 2 and 2 together, which is unlike me because I'm great at math.
Get rid of Austin Theory out of the vision. That's the other one. It's the only one you can think of, right? I mean, what else would Paul Heyman be able to give him?
Well, this is my theory, and it's out there, and you can call it fantasy booking. I don't expect it to happen, nor do I think it should happen. But if I was going crazy, I'd have that Bron Breakker Seth Rollins match. I would make sure Bron Breakker looks great. He's had really good matches. I see no problem with that. And maybe even doing like a little ounce of respect type of thing. Maybe even Bron Breakker wins the match, but Seth Rollins has earned his respect and he has no more ill will towards Seth because, hey, I just won. I used you for what I needed you for and got that higher stepping stone. And we get a little bit of a face turn for Bron, and then Gunther's ask is, give me the vision.
Ugh.
And now you have Gunther leading the vision and having minions again. I don't see Logan Paul as a minion per se, but like I said, this is not what I hope they do or think they should do. I'm just throwing out a wacky one there for you, Jeff.
That is such a downgrade from Imperium.
Yeah, I don't know if it... Well, Ludwig Kaiser has done much better doing his thing. And then Giovanni isn't even in the company anymore. And there used to be a fourth member of Imperium that I can't even remember his name. So I don't think it's that far of a downgrade from Imperium.
Okay.
And Logan Paul's a super... Logan Paul is going to be Brock Lesnar in 10 years. Coming in, doing one match every 6 months. He's getting jacked, man. He is getting huge.
Yeah.
Logan Paul's going to be the next Brock Lesnar.
I don't think he gets that big, but he's going to
get ready for... Oh, well, not necessarily big size-wise. He's a little taller. He's much taller than Brock. And right. He's got that height, but he's got a little bit of that kind of grittiness. And like, he's not afraid to be himself on TV like Brock got to once he returned to WWE after about a year after his return. He was like, I'm Brock Lesnar. I'm just going to be me out there. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's what I kind of hope Obafemi can roll into, is not so much just, I'm this Nigerian doing the walk to the ring, and I have to, every move has to feel like I'm a robot getting, like, I want that Obafemi from that video package that showed him doing his shot put days. You know, laughing with his teammates and being jovial and being excited to be around people and to do good work. Like, I want to see real person Obafemi. Like, I already am getting real person Logan Paul, like we were getting with real person Brock Lesnar. Not every character goes for that. I get it. And Obafemi's character may not be, I need to be a real person. I'm just a monster and I'm beating people up, whatever. But I hope he can roll into that a little bit in the future. But Logan Paul right now, I can see as one of those one match every 4 month type of dudes. Not right away, but like 5-10 years from now, I can see him coming back and doing that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Give me a guy on SmackDown that you want to see get transferred over to Raw.
Oh, someone on SmackDown going to Raw. I can say Sami Zayn. That might be a boring answer because we've seen him with the Bloodline, and maybe you want to keep him kind of away from the Bloodline stuff. That's an interesting question. Honestly, Damian Priest is probably it.
I have one, and it came up into my head when you were talking about Gunther and favors and stuff.
Okay.
Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Gunther work so well together. I just want to see them match.
No, Ilya's been fine. If you ask me who would I like to see from SmackDown go to NXT, there might be 7 dudes.
Oh, yeah.
That I choose going back to NXT.
There's plenty there.
I don't know. I don't know if I can handle Ilya and Ethan Page both being on that show, and Dragon Lee, and just keep everyone in that Intercontinental title mix, because at least it keeps them down to one segment. We haven't seen American Made much lately because of what Chad Gable's been doing. We haven't seen some of these regulars. We haven't seen too much of. God, well,
we just got the Street Profits.
Well, we got the Street Profits back. Akira Tozawa.
Yeah,
we haven't seen that. No, the whole Chad Gable sphere has been kind of missing ever since they did the Americano stuff. But yeah, the Street Profits are back. Montez got back into shape. Dawson is in great shape.
Dawkins
as well.
Is in great shape.
Why am I wanting to call him Montel and Dawson? What is that from? Is this AEW? Is this because I'm watching FTR versus MVP?
Yes.
God, that was terrible. Montez and Dawkins. Come on, Rob. He's calling Alex Shelley Alex the other day. I'm like, what am I doing? What is wrong with me?
I don't know. You gotta get your reps in, and you go on vacation all these times, and now you're back.
Well, yeah. I was wondering, where is Shaban and Shelley? Come on, Rob.
God, there's a glut of guys. I could see cuts coming too.
Well, you got a lot of new bodies and not more TV time, and it's not like you got more shows. You're not doing house shows either. Could this be? I don't see it with Ethan Page because he did just come into the promotion. But is it too early for Sink or Swim for some of the people? Like, hey, we're just moving you up because we're not sure if we even want you. So, like, we're gonna see if you get over, and if you don't, bye. If you do, great.
It's not too early, but. I mean, they've done this, and they've even like kept people in the back and never put them on TV from NXT, even though they moved them up. So, I mean, that's a possibility, too. It just might be time to take them up, and if they don't use them, they don't use them. But, I mean, there's a glut of people you could let go in favor of new people, especially some veterans. But, I mean, if I were, like, If I were someone like Carmelo Hayes, I'd be a little nervous right now.
See, I wouldn't be if I was Carmelo Hayes, because I feel like, yeah, he got the title taken away from him right before WrestleMania. But I don't see that as much as a Carmelo Hayes thing as I was like, well, we just have to figure out a way to get Sami Zayn on this show and doing that match and get the title to Trick Williams. Because I still see them revisiting Carmelo and Trick Williams this year on TV. Carmelo's probably not going to win. I don't think he's right to be nervous yet. Could be very wrong, but I don't think he's right to be nervous. But as much as they are trying to grab at profits, I think you could be right. They could be clearing, you know, what's another way to make more money is spend less money.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be coming down the pike? Hopefully not, for the sake of the talent there, because I think there's a place for everyone they have. There's a place for Ethan Page. There's a place for Ricky Saints. They were in that place, but now Ethan Page is up to the main roster. So you thought Jade Cargill overperformed.
I did.
I thought Pat McAfee and what he did on WrestleMania was cool. We'll see what Randy Orton's explanation is for RKOing him. It could be just as simple as, you know, he didn't count the three fast enough and I was sick of carrying him. I used him like I use everybody. It's not like I was good friends with Pat McAfee, so I RKO'd him thinking that I had the match in the bag and I'd get a real ref out here, and then it backfired. Do you see them going? I know Cody Rhodes did the thing with CM Punk, but is Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes still your top direction on SmackDown?
Yeah, I think so. I got real cynical about my Mania predictions. I predicted at the end of the night on Saturday that Pat McAfee would be your world champion.
What was going on there? I mean,
because they were pushing the Randy backstory so hard on the internet, and it was just a for the internet working the internet story that they brought up quickly on TV and kind of alluded to. And I thought, sure, okay, Cody's gonna get Randy hurting. Randy will say, I can't go anymore. Pat will offer to go in. Cody will say, sure, and then Randy would RKO Pat for the 1-2-3 for the cheap win. Plus, it was corporate synergy with ESPN and TKO and all that other stuff.
A lot of corporate synergy.
Yeah, so I just thought it made sense to do something like that at there. I'm glad I was wrong. I see kind of the Randy is champion in absentia type story going. Like, I thought they were going to do Jacob Fatu and Randy for the quote unquote title, even though Randy didn't hold it, but then he gave it back and then Cody had it all of a sudden. But I don't, you know, I see it's going to probably be Randy and Cody when Cody can come back, but you got to have Randy doing something during that time.
Well, the fact that Cody Rhodes was on TV the very next night, it's like, I don't see him taking any time off necessarily. Okay. So I think he's going to wrestle on one of these shows coming up in a few weeks, whether it be Backlash or Saturday Night's Main Event. So you only have 2 weeks to kind of promote what he's going to do. Will it be a rematch with no interference from the celebs? Like, maybe that's one thing they do. Maybe they do a cage match on Saturday Night's Main Event of some sort, like an old school, not a Hell in a Cell, just an old school
blue cage climb over.
Yeah, climb over if you want 40-year-old Randy Orton climbing up cage there. That could be your show to do it. That WWE in the nutshell, I mean, it's we're headed into some intriguing times, heading into two big shows, heading into a SummerSlam that's happening, I think, very early on in August. That's also going to be two nights. So honestly, we're not that far away from SummerSlam. We're only 3 months away from the end of summer show. Jeff Hawkins, does that depress you that we're only 3 months away from the end of summer?
I guess I don't get summer vacations anymore, Rob. It doesn't matter to me. I have to go into work anyways.
Hey, but you go outside, you get some sunshine. What's the weather like in Los Angeles these days? I mean, the Dodgers games look great.
72 and sunny.
72 and sunny.
We haven't hit the big heat wave just yet. We had a heat wave a little while ago, but now it's cooled down. But it's going to get brutal in the summer. It's going to get absolutely brutal out here.
Absolutely brutal. Are you sold on Darby Allin as the AEW World Champion after a match with Tommaso Ciampa, after beating MJF? Are you sold on Darby as the World Champion? And what's the over-under Jeff Hawkins would give the odds of Darby hanging on to the AEW World title?
He's not hanging on to it for long. Everything they're doing with this screams transition, and they just did it for the Seattle pop. It's ridiculous in so many ways because, like, did you watch Dynamite last night or no?
I've been a busy guy. Here, this is what I told you. This is what I told you. All right.
Okay.
It's baseball season. I will catch the results. I will read the results. I will miss cues here and there. I watch Raw. All right. I watch the pay-per-views. I will watch the AEW pay-per-views. I have not watched Dynamite just yet, but I will. I do not watch Collision. Collision does not make the cut.
Okay. No, I don't watch Collision either, but watching last night, because I have to do a show after Dynamite, looking at that crowd, and there are no children in that crowd for AEW. It's nothing but adults and mostly people over 30.
Oh. Yeah, well, and you don't look for the kids.
No, but you could have used this to get kids if you wanted to. If you wanted to and you wanted to put some effort into it. Now, the other problem here is a tale as old as time. This is the time where I could have talked and you could have whatever.
Hit that cough button.
Every company on Earth knows how to do the chase story with whatever underdog champion or feel-good story they have. Every company's been able to do it pretty well. Even the NWA, as it exists now, did it pretty well with Tim Storm. The problem is nobody ever has an idea after the guy wins the title. And you either put him up against upper echelon people so you prove that he's a legitimate champion, or you give him these garbage mid-card feuds that nobody cares about, and everybody's just kind of looking for who's going to finally beat him. You had Hangman Page going against Lance Archer. You had Daniel Bryan going against Kane in his first feud. You have Darby Allin and Tommaso Ciampa, who I really like. Tommaso Ciampa, by the way, who is a psycho killer, but is talking about his family. It's no, be a psycho killer, Tommaso Ciampa, and say you want the title. That's all I want out of you. But who can take this seriously when Darby's challengers aren't the Kenny Omegas and Swerve Stricklands of the world, and instead you're getting Tommaso Ciampa and Brody King a cycle too late?
Well, I mean, anything Brody King is a cycle too late because he had his peak and it was not a very long peak.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're not going to test to see if they have something with him. He's Darby Allin with a better belt. That's all he is, and it's not going to move numbers, and then everybody's going to wonder why. Well, he put on some bangers. Why didn't business get better? You know, who cares? See what you have with him. If you're going to put the title on him.
It's not all about bangers, everybody. Was there a banger at the Royal Rumble? Was there a banger? There were a couple bangers at WrestleMania, but WrestleMania is the show you're going to have those. They don't have classic matches on Raw and SmackDown anymore, period.
No. Like
those don't exist on the TV shows. Darby Allin, yes, I think is going to be a transitional champion. I don't see him being in the top match at like an All In a few months away, especially not overseas. I don't see Darby Allin being that guy.
He won't have the title by All In.
But kids, I mean, how are kids supposed to be into Darby Allin? Yeah, he's got face paint. Do you think just everyone with face paint is a kid's character?
Because
Asuka ain't. I mean, sometimes the face paint isn't a kid's character. But if I'm a mother or a father with an 8-year-old child, am I going to be like, oh, Darby Allin's your favorite? Let's go watch Darby Allin cut himself up with John Moxley.
Okay, granted that. But, you know, he has that kind of daredevil spirit that young boys like. And the problem was that, you know what? They had an awesome video package of him last night. And you know what music they set it to? They set it to Sammy Davis Jr. I Gotta Be Me. Now, if you want ironic detachment, sure, Sammy Davis Jr. is your guy. But if you put that to something at least moderately cool, like even Darby's theme song, it's an awesome video package. But no, it's Sammy Davis friggin' Jr. Not that he's not untalented.
Well, no, Sammy Davis himself, great. Pairing up with Darby Allin.
Not great. No. Maybe even not. My parents were too old for Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. I mean, there's some craziness. A lot of what AEW does, I mean, again, they don't they don't book for kids. They don't book for any particular group. They book for what Tony Khan thinks is cool. And the problem with what Tony Khan thinks is cool is that the masses don't care. Mm-hmm. And you can put on bangers of matches, but then they won't care the next week and everyone's just moving on to the next thing. And nothing means anything because you're just putting up Speedball versus Will Ospreay for no reason and not building something up to it or making it meaningful. Say what you will about CM Punk and Roman Reigns, those two, which one of the better WrestleMania main events over the history. That match did exactly what it was supposed to do, be the best match of the weekend, and it was. It was great. It was a real WrestleMania main event. But you're trying to make a WrestleMania main event happen every Dynamite and every Collision, and just no one cares.
They eschew the build for the star ratings in the Observer the next day. That's what they do, and it drives me nuts because I have so many people I know who like it, but of course they're the 32-year-old who subscribes to the Observer and has a notebook full of star ratings and what matches they watched this year, and they want to make sure that things are on their top 25. And, there's a place for those fans. I just don't find that fun. And I want to see some build, and I want to see a feud, and I want to see feuds that mean something. I want them to build some characters. And they don't. They build by having them come out and do matches. And you even see this with the Will Ospreay thing last night, where he comes out with a neck injury. He gets counted out, the match gets waved off after Mark Davis pile drives him on the apron. Then, of all people, the Death Riders come out and take him away. The Death Riders, who Moxley is feuding with Ospreay, he comes out, presumably to teach him how to turn his neck on pile drivers like Regal taught them to in the Blackpool Combat Club or whatever. I don't know. But they cut from Will Ospreay being kidnapped to Will Ospreay's wife cutting a promo. And she doesn't even care that her husband has just been kidnapped. And you go, why do I need to invest anything emotionally in this product other than to watch if the matches are technically sound? If you're not even going to bring up the fact that your husband was just kidnapped so that you can cut a promo about Tekla and Sky Blue, I just go, okay, great.
I have this theory ever since LA Knight kidnapped Paul Heyman in the ambulance, and we've had kidnappings in wrestling. We've had people driving away unexpectedly with superstars, is that they leave the building. And like whatever they have in their contracts that makes sure that there's not going to be any held liable for what happens in the building, they leave the building and they think to themselves, oh shit, maybe I should put Paul Heyman back. Maybe I should put Will Ospreay back. I don't want to go to real prison. Like, I'll get fined by Adam Pearce or Cold Steve Austin or whoever, but I don't actually want to go to jail. And they come back to their senses and they just deliver him back to the arena. Like, whoops, sorry.
and yet they cut every promo as if they're in a prison. That's what I love to all the prison promos, and they don't ever want to go to prison.
That they're in a prison, and every promo from every main event character has to be like, I'm going to end your career and I'm going to kill you.
Yes,
like,
I'm going,
you will not survive a match with me. No one has ever not survived in the match. For WWE, I should say.
Drew McIntyre is doing no holds barred street fight, anything goes, and he has a sword, and he never uses a sword.
I know. My wife actually watched a little bit of the Saturday Night Show with me, and Drew McIntyre came out. He came out with a sword, and I told her this match was unsanctioned because she asked what that meant. Well, she knew what it meant, but she was like, "This match is unsanctioned?" You know, that kind of questioning. It's like, why is this match unsanctioned? What's going on here? And then she's like, well, then he should, in theory, be able to use that sword, right? And then he drops the sword. He just puts it down. I'm like, why aren't you using the sword, bro? Like, I feel like that match could have gone 30 seconds.
Yeah. Just cut off his head. It's unsanctioned. It's not like the company's responsible.
Style. Game of Thrones style. And then guess what? The whole future of WWE has changed forever.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.